God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. I just want to go through Psalm 46 with you this morning and just pray that this will be an encouragement to you as it has been to me. This is a wonderful psalm, this, and it's a psalm of great encouragement and a psalm where we can get great hope and strength from. Now in this psalm here, it is the psalmist is making a declaration of triumph. It's a triumphant confession of trust in God through a difficult time, through trials, through temptation, through a threat that has been removed and eradicated. In verses 2 to 3, we see the city of Jerusalem is threatened, and the imagery is terrifying. As we see it, therefore we will not fear, though the earth give away and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, and though the waters roam and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. If you look at the imagery that the psalmist is using, it's like creation itself has been undone. Violent continental shifts, earthquakes and tsunamis, and the mountains falling into the heart of the sea, falling into the abyss. He's using the worst case scenario in his imagery to show that no matter how horrific the situation is, he begins with God, because the psalmist is ready. He is prepared. God is our refuge and strength, ever-present help in trouble. He's prepared. He has not put his trust in the city's defences, although the city is defended and it was wise to do so. He has not put his trust in the subterranean canals that fed the city their water. But he's put his faith and his hope in God. God is our refuge and strength, ever present in times of trouble. Therefore I will not fear. God, the God of Jacob, is our fortress, not Jerusalem, the God of Jacob. So we see the worst case scenario, like the whole of creation has been undone, yet the psalmist is unmoved. Now Psalm 46 is believed to have been written after the destruction of the Assyrian king Sennacherib and his army. Well, Sennacherib would die sometime later. In 701 BC, the army of Sennacherib was destroyed outside the gates of Jerusalem. 185,000 of Sennacherib's army was destroyed by the angel of the Lord. 2 Kings 18, you can read about Sennacherib. And in Isaiah 36, you can read about Sennacherib's threat to Hezekiah in Jerusalem. And what did Hezekiah do? Hezekiah, like the psalmist, was not afraid or moved. But he prayed and he said to the Lord, "Do you see how this man ridicules your name?" Sennacherib boasted about his power. He mocked the incompetence of the other nations and of the incompetence of their gods. This is what Sennacherib said to Hezekiah. He sent a messenger to Hezekiah and he said, "Do not listen," he said to the people of Jerusalem, "what Hezekiah, for he is misleading you. When he says the Lord will deliver us, has the gods of any other nation delivered us? Has the gods of any other nation delivered his lands from the hands of the Assyrians?" What a boast. What a challenge. And what did Hezekiah say? He went on his knees and he prayed and he said, "Do you see what he is saying?" That very night, the angel of the Lord went out and smote the army of Sennacherib. And if you want to read a poem by the destruction of Sennacherib, read Lord Byron's poem, about the destruction of Sennacherib, and it says it all. And Psalm 46 was a result of this. Some believe it was written as the smoke of Sennacherib's army was still rising. So Jerusalem was threatened, yet the psalmist was not afraid. Why? Because his trust was in God. He's not trusting in, as we said, in the protection or in the defences of the city. He was not moved by Sennacherib's threats, and he was not impressed by Sennacherib's power. And he's saying, though the whole of creation be undone, he says, I will not be afraid, because God is my refuge and strength. Are we threatened by something today? Are we facing huge mountainous challenges? Are we caught, as to use the imagery, in some seismic movement in our lives? Is there like a tidal wave or a tsunami in our lives just now? Is there an earthquake or a violent eruption, volcanic eruption? See, we build up our defences in this life, and it's wise to do so. We live healthy, healthy living, good diet, exercise, sacrifice. We work, we save, we invest, we have pension, we have security and safety for old age. We look after our bodies. We look after our welfare. We look after our finances. We have security. But like any natural disasters, things come into our lives that make us feel completely unprepared. Our defences feel inadequate. We feel insecure. We feel cheated. We feel sometimes like saying, what's the point? I've worked all my life. I've lived healthy. I've done this, I've done all the right things, I've prepared, and look, it's like life is a lottery. And what happens when the structures of our security and the things that we trusted in are threatened? When there is a personal earthquake or tsunami in our life that shake our foundations and wash away everything that we trusted in? See, there is no lasting security in this world. God has never said that there's a lasting security in this world. And we, like the psalmist, have to be prepared for everything in life. His trust and his hope was not in the defences of the city, but in his God. And that's where our trust and our hope has to be, is in God. And he says, God is our refuge and our strength. God is his protector. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadows of the Almighty, Psalm 91 says. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High. God is our refuge. What is our refuge? It's a place of security. It's a place of safety. It's a place of shelter. It's a place of protection. It's a place of rest. That's what God is. He's a refuge. He's a security. He's a safety. He's a shelter. He's a protection. And he's a place where we find rest and hope. That's our refuge. That's our strength. We are not exempt from troubles, but we have a refuge. We have a protector. God is our refuge and our strength, the psalmist says. God is our power. He has, and we have, an inner strength. We have an inner power. A power to go on. A power to face each day. A power to face each enemy, each adversary, each difficulty in our lives. He gives strength to the weary and increases power to the weak, Isaiah says. He is our refuge. He is our strength. God's power is made perfect in our weakness. We are weak and we are feeble. But God is all powerful. And that's what we are told, that He is our refuge and that He is our strength. So He is a shelter and He is our protection. But He is also our strength. He is ever present, the omnipresent God. He says He's ever present in times of trouble. But God is always present. But the psalmist is making it clear that at times of trouble that you see the presence of God. And you do see the presence of God. He's reassuring himself, well, I've just seen the destruction of Sennacherib's army. He is present in the times of trouble by His provision, by His deliverance, by His comfort, His peace and His reassurance. Often in times of trial and trouble, whatever it may be that we can see, that God is present. We know by faith that He's always present. But in times of trouble, we see that so often. That when our resources and our strength and everything is failing us, that we see the ever-present God coming to aid and to help us. We live by faith, and sometimes we live maybe as though God wasn't there, but in times of trouble, we see His presence. Be still and know that I am God, He says. The presence of Almighty God. Every second of every day, Jesus is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Closer than anything in your life is Christ. He's closer than the problems and the difficulties and everything that we face today. He says, call on me in the day of trouble. And if you have faith in Him today, He's closer than you think. How close is He? He lives in you. Verse 4 says, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at the break of day. The Most High dwells in you. We are the city of God. We are the church of Christ. We are the bride of Christ. Revelation 21 uses the symbolism, the city of God, the new Jerusalem, the church of God coming down from heaven, and God is coming down, and He says the dwelling of God will be with men now, and He will be with them. The Christian man and woman, God is dwelling in you by His Spirit. God the Most High is dwelling in you. The Most High is dwelling in the most lowly. What an amazing reality that is, that the Most High dwells in the most lowly, in us. That's how close He is. You couldn't be any closer. He is living in you. God is within her. She will not fall. God is within her. Everything in this world will fail and fall. Verses 4 to 6. Except the city of God. There are times when we will stumble and fall. But we will rise up. We will fall. And we'll certainly fall to ill health. We'll certainly stumble in trials. And we'll certainly fall in death. But we will not fall forever, because God will not suffer us to fall, because we are His people. God is within her, she shall not fall. We will not fall eternally. We will not be destroyed eternally. We will never fall, because God is in us. We are the city of God. Because He lives in us and His presence is within us. The kingdoms of this world will fall, as the psalmist says. Our kingdoms that we have built that are not built on Christ will fall. If the king is not at the heart of our kingdoms, then that kingdom will fall. And that kingdom will be destroyed. The earth will dissolve like snow, like the hymn says. But the city of God will not. The city of God will last forever. And the other thing is that to be pleased, to know the pleasure and to know the joy of God. Verse 4 says, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God. Look at the picture. To make glad, to rejoice. And as I said in my prayer, the purpose for which we were made was to glorify God and to enjoy Him. There is a river that makes glad the city of God. Now Jerusalem had no major rivers in it like any of the other cities of the day. It was fed by a subterranean canal, fresh, beautiful, underwater streams, gladdened the hearts and refreshing the inhabitants of the city. And even under siege and threat, cold, fresh water. The pleasure of fresh water in the hot, arid conditions. We often are a city under siege, but we can rejoice in Him in all circumstances, in all difficulties, in all trials. We can be glad and we can be satisfied. We can feel refreshed and we can feel strengthened. We can feel strengthened. We can be glad in every circumstances because of the purpose in which we were made, to glorify God and to enjoy Him. And we draw on the well of the water of life to restore and to freshen our souls. Jesus and the Samaritan woman in John chapter 6 says, you'll always be thirsty if you draw from this well, but I give you the water that will spring up to eternal life. And that's the water that we have in Jesus Christ. That is the well that is within the city. That is the well that's within us, is Jesus, satisfying the soul, refreshing the soul. And we have to draw on that well. We have to draw on that water. We need to draw on Christ. There's a river that makes the city of God glad. How it gladdens our hearts when we draw on Christ. How it fills us with joy and pleasure when we take the water of life and it feeds our souls and it freshens our souls and it provides for all our needs. The living water, the river that makes glad the city of God, please, satisfied, comforted, and refreshed. Let us be glad and pleased in God. He is the unseen river, the unseen stream that gladdens our hearts, which others and which the world sees. And there is also peace in this psalm. And before there is peace, God has to destroy all the enemies of peace and all the enemies that threaten the city. And we are told that in verse 8, 7 and 8. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see the works of the Lord's desolation He has brought on the earth. He makes war cease and end to the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shield with fire. Now, this is probably him looking at the army of Sennacherib and see the army that came to threaten the city, that God has destroyed it. He breaks their bows and he shatters their spear. He destroyed Sennacherib's army. Totally destroyed it. And he has brought peace. He makes war cease to the ends of the earth. He ceased the war. He dealt with the enemy and he brought an end to the war. Is there something warring against our souls? Is there an enemy warring against our souls? Is there temptations warring against our souls? Is there uncertainties that are warring against our spirits and making us anxious? That we're perplexed and we're worried and we cannot go on because these uncertainties are warring against our souls. Let the Lord destroy everything that wars against you. Come to Him and say, like Hezekiah, "Do you see this, Lord? Help me." And see that we, the city, can have peace. That you can have peace. If, no matter what is warring against you, if you trust in God. And just like the psalmist looked outside the city walls and seen Sennacherib's army smoking, the bows broken, the spears shattered, the shields on fire, the destruction, the desolation of Sennacherib's army. Yet he had peace within the city walls. Let us look out today from our walls. Look outside from the inside of our peace and our joy. Look outside the city walls. Look at the desolation. Look at the isolation. Look at the destruction. Look out the city walls and see Christ. See the broken body, although there wasn't a bone broken in his body was broken. And his spirit was broken. Broken outside the city walls on the cross at Calvary. See the God of peace making peace. See the destruction of sin in the Son of Man. See the Son of God making all war between man and God cease. And he makes peace between man and God. See the spear that shatters his flesh. See the burning of God's wrath melting him on the cross at Calvary. See the price of our peace. And that's what he's done for us. And he says, "Be still," the psalmist says, "and know that I am God." What are we facing today? What is it that's disturbing our peace and our trust? Stop. Think. Who we are talking to. What is our concerns? What is our problems, our trouble, our pain? God says, "Be still and know that I am God." Be still. Come to me, but be still. Think of who He is, the Creator. In the beginning, God created the heavens and earth. Our Redeemer, our Saviour. God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever should believe in Him shall not die, but have eternal life. Our Comforter. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God. You believe also in me. For in my Father's house there are many mansions. There are many rooms. The God of peace. Do not be worried or anxious about anything. But in prayer and petition and thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and mind in Christ Jesus. Be still and know that that's who I am. Be still and know that no matter what you are facing or dealing with, that I can deal with it. If it's too big and too heavy for you, you're not meant to be carrying it. I can carry it. I have the shoulders, Jesus said, and I carried everything on the cross. Be still and know that I am God. So who is he? He's our refuge. He's our strength. He's ever present. He's our pleasure. He's our provision. He's our savior. He's our peace giver. He's our comforter. He's our fortress. Be still and know that I am God. So what is left for him? What is left for us? I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in all the earth. All we can do is praise and worship him. Praise and worship the God that is able to destroy our sin, deal with our enemies, provide for us, comfort us, and give us hope. What are we left with? But to do the thing that we were created for, to glorify him and enjoy him. And we pray that we will find joy in God today, and we will find peace and find comfort in him today. Because the God of Jacob is our fortress and our strength. Amen.